Let's be before the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Here we are, loving Father, in your holy presence, spending this hour with you, to know you better, to understand you more deeply, Lord, and especially to understand your love for each one of us, which alone can get us out of any trouble, Lord God. We take your most precious blood, sweet Jesus, and we sprinkle it upon this place, Lord. Every nook and corner of this place, every chair, Lord God, every person of us, Lord God. And we claim for protection, Lord God, against everything that is not of thy kingdom, Lord. Let it be moved out from here right now in your precious blood, Lord. And sweet Holy Spirit, this is your class, this is your time. This is the time when you teach us, Lord, the great revelations, the great depth of your knowledge unto us, Lord, which only you, O Lord, can teach and inspire us, Lord. We pray, Lord, open our hearts, Lord, our minds, to accept your word, Lord. Only you can penetrate deep into our minds and hearts, Lord, and sow that word, Lord God, that is so important in our lives, that will grow hundredfold and a thousandfold as well, Lord. And sweet Mother Mary, today we celebrate your birthday. What a great and auspicious day it is. Be with us, Mother Mary, with special blessings. Also for all those who could not make it today, Lord, Mother Mary, who are celebrating your feast here and there. Bless them as well, O Mama, and keep us always under your mantle of blue, now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. We're still on the book of Revelation. In fact, it's just the beginning. Last week, we learned about... We remember that we are still on the salutation, as it is called, of a letter, where John is still, you know, writing the letter to his to the people, to the churches, to the seven churches, and he is greeting them. He is greeting them with the words of Jesus. He is greeting them with the love of Jesus. He is greeting them with the love of the Holy Spirit. So we know, we learned last time that the love of God was there, the love of Jesus was there, and the love of this the Spirit, Holy Spirit, which is proclaimed here in seven as seven spirits of the living God. And we understood that these seven spirits are actually the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, which he has given to the seven churches. Now, that is why he is proclaimed here as the spirit of the seven spirits. Okay, then we also learned that it is Jesus who is giving us this blessing. And who is this Jesus? He is the one who loves us. He is the one who freed us from our sins. He is the one who died for us, right? Out of his love for us. And he is the one who will come back again with dominion forever and ever. So we covered that, this things up last week, okay? Today, we'll start with chapter 1, verse 7. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. Now this is John still writing his first letter, still continuing with his salutations to the people. Now, from now onwards, we have to understand that John was completely soaked in the Old Testament. He was completely soaked in the Old Testament. You cannot be a child of God without knowing the Word of God. Right? And to have the zeal of John, so much to the extent that he is willing to sacrifice his life for the gospel of the Lord, that means his relationship with God is so strong. He is not only the witness of Jesus, but he is a strong witness. If you remember, in some of the scriptures, he says, Jesus' beloved disciple. He had although Peter was a rock, although Peter was the captain, the head, but John was the love of Jesus. He loved him in a special way. You know, he had a special relationship with Jesus, and that is why he is so much engrossed in the Word. Without the Word, Jesus also, although the Word was Jesus, but when Jesus came to this earth, he used to go to the synagogues, he used to open the Word of God, and he used to preach the Word of God, he used to read the Word of God. So, Word of God, in any script, in any occasion, at that time there were synagogues, there was no mass as such, but there were the service there. And in the services, the Word of God was always read. In fact, in the synagogues then, for every service, they had seven readings, it seems. Seven readings were there, read by, beginning with priests, and read by different people from there, but with the priest, seven readings. Today now we have got only three on a obligatory mass. But so much was John soaked in the Word, that everything that John, even in this vision that he sees, he relates it to what has happened in the past, in the Old Testament. He relates it to that. Now, this particular verse, you know, look, he's coming down. Now, the reason why he does that is he is living and he's writing this letter to people who is in turmoil, who have been persecuted, like just like him, right? He's been writing to these people. And that is why he needs that confidence so much to give. How can I give confidence to a people whom I don't know? So that is why I should know the Lord, to give confidence to the people that, yes, because we are all suffering. So he was that one who took the initiative. He was the one who was very famous in those seven churches as well. And so he was the one to whom this revelation has been given. Now, he is looking at this chapter. Look, he is coming in with the clouds. Every eye will see him. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 to 14. There is a vision which Daniel gets then in that chapter. And in that vision, there are four bestial powers, four bestial powers which he sees in the vision. First one is Babylon, who is depicted as a lion with eagle's wings. The second one is Persia, who is depicted as a savage bear. This is all in that vision. The third is a winged leopard, and the fourth is the third is Greece, which is a winged leopard, and the fourth is Rome, with a beast with iron teeth and very bad to look at. So these are the four empires which are ruling the world at that time in that vision. And there comes, in the midst of these horrific, terrible beasts which depict the world, for example, it was Babylon, it was Persia, Greece, and Rome, four powers. There comes, same thing, a power, looks like the Son of Man, gentle, pure, and with great dominion, breaking all these powers and ruling the world. Breaking all, now that is the vision Daniel got. In Daniel 7, chapters 1 to 14, the story is there. And that is why John is now recollecting that same passage, because in that passage there is hope. When four destroyable nations are ruling the world, yeah, Jesus, God did not leave them without be destructed. He sent a lamb. Right, he sent Jesus, who destroys all these powers and saves his people. Even that is why John is so excited about this verse, and that's why he mentions this verse again. Because when God did it at that time, he will do it now as well. That is the surety John has. Now, there was also... this same scenario is also taken in the New Testament. This verse is so good, and this verse is you can say is the anthem, is the theme for the entire Revelation, because the Revelation is the end time things. What's going to happen? What happens? What is the secret behind all this? And this is the verse which keeps on emerging time and again. And the hope of people are on this verse, and it is the same. It should be the same for us as well. Because we are also living in the end times. And when we understand this verse so minutely and so detailedly, you know, we can understand that we have hope. We have hope that the same Jesus who came then, who comes now, will come at the end of time. And this is the hope that the people, the generations lived by, even gave their lives to. You know, they offered to be killed because this was the hope which they know that one day, the Lord will come and surely come. Now see, he says, every eye shall see him. Okay, in other words, it's every knee shall bow. Yeah, on that last day, it'll be too late for people. He's coming, every eye shall be, even those who pierced him. Now, this is the second part of it. For those who have pierced him, for those who have done wrong to him, it is a terror. This verse is a terror. Because eventually, now all these denominations, all these religions who are talking about so many things, who are trying to destroy Christianity, that one day will come when everything will be, when the whole secret will come to know. They know the truth, but they are not accepting it. And that day will come when there will be no looking back. So the people who have been anticipating, like people like you and me who have been anticipating Christ, who know who Christ is and who know that he will surely come to save. And that is why even through our tribulations and period, we are alive. We are alive because we have got a hope. Everything will, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away, says Jesus. If we do not believe in that, we have to give up Christianity, take up some other religion. So on this day, for us, it is a beautiful day. It's a day for victory. It's a day of resurrection, whether we are alive or we are dead. But for those people who have pierced him, it is a day of torment. It's a day of torment because there is no time left. The time factor is over. Now Jesus is not coming as a broken figure on the cross. He's coming as a ruler, henceforth ruler. So those who have not, not accepted Jesus, will go into this. But there is one more hope, even for them. In Zechariah 12:10, okay, John quotes this part, a part of it from Zechariah 12:10, which contains the words, "When they look on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him, as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn." Now this is a story in Zechariah where God is sending them a shepherd, a good shepherd, the people. But the people, in their folly and in their ignorance or in their bad way of life, you know, and desires of life, they kill this shepherd. They kill this good shepherd, and then they accept the bad shepherds that are around them, who are saying that, you know, we will do you good, we will do you this and that, and they manipulate them, and then they realize that they have killed the good shepherd who was protecting them. And all these other shepherds are all, scapegoats, all the rascals, you know, all rogues who are there. But then those people, they repent. They repent and they ask God for forgiveness. That is the story which is there in Zechariah. They ask God for forgiveness, and God, with the God's grace only, they ask them for forgiveness, and they repented, and then God has saved them. So God is such a good God that he gives time for all the people. Otherwise this world would have been lost long back. Yeah, but he's still giving time. Day by day, he's waiting for people to come back to his son. And sometimes we say, why is this world not ending? You know, why? But God must be like Jesus and God must be having a conversation. That God must be telling Jesus, come on, today we'll finish the world. Because the world has to come to an end. Then Jesus will be telling him, see, because Jesus is the mediator, right? He sits on the right hand of God and he mediates. He is the intercessor with the Father. So he must be telling, this is just my way of thinking. He must be telling God, you know, God, come on, like, see that those people, that group, they are almost coming to us. We'll give them another chance, you know, one more day, two more days, so that when they come back to us, we will end the world. So that he wants people to be saved at any cost. He has given his blood, his life for everyone on earth. He has done the job. But now, accepting it belongs to us. Yeah, I'm trying to give you a gift, present, but it is up to you to take it or not, or leave it. So, sorry, I don't want it. Like that, we know that they have that that wedding feast where people were invited and nobody came. Then he said, go and get everybody in. And one of them was without a garment. The garments were given, but he was there without a garment. He said, why, sir, why are you without a garment? That is the story he gives. So he came to the wedding feast. He was invited, he came, but he did not accept the garment. So that's the way we can say we are Christians, but we may not accept Jesus. We may not. And what is accepting Jesus means? Showing that you are Jesus. Showing that, you know, like I always remember Mahatma Gandhi and feel sad for him. He said, I love Christ, but I don't like Christians. Because he could not see Christ in Christians. If he had seen that, you know, what would have been? Gandhi would be converted to Christ, because whatever he did was on the basis of the Bible. He was the ardent reader of the Bible. And if he was convinced and we had seen Christians just like Christ, India would be a Christian nation today. Yeah. You know? But we lost the opportunity. We lost it. First of all, I mean, God knows his plans. But that is what could have happened. So are we, now how do we depict today what we are? Maybe there will be a lot of Mahatmas around us who says, like, oh, these are Christians. Or we better not be Christians. If this is the way the Christians live, like, what's so great? Probably, like, no, that is why today we have to see, are we portraying Christ as the way Christ is? Or are we a completely different person of Christ? And we can call ourselves Christians. That is why some of the other religion people are confused with Christians. Because they do not see what Christ did with us. How Christ lived, they cannot see it as. Because we are retaliative. We abuse back. We show power to power. But Jesus never did all of those things. Jesus came as a sacrificial lamb, right? Because that is the secret behind the whole power of Jesus. The same principle, if he is our boss, if he is our leader, the same principle holds good even today for us. If you truly want to be a child of God, a real Christian person, we have to abide by the principles of Jesus. There's no other way. And that's the way people should see Jesus in us. And that's the time when we can say, yes, we are truly Christians. And what does that mean? You'll be abused tomorrow. Our natural reaction would be, yes, I'm also going to hit you back. But if what would Jesus do? Whenever we are faced with a problem like that, the question we should always ask is, what would Jesus do in this situation? And then go to the same way that he did. And the best thing is that Jesus, when he was doing all these things in this world, he was alone. He had nobody. He was training his disciples to be like him. But he was alone. He had only communion with the Father. And whatever the Father told him, he did. The same thing. Now we have got communion with Jesus. And Jesus is not far away. He lives in us. So much so we have got the advantage, the power. The only thing is unless we ask Jesus, he will not enter. The Holy Spirit will not interfere without we asking him. So Holy Spirit, this is the problem I'm having on a daily basis. This person is irritating me. I feel like giving it back to him. What should I do? Holy Spirit will give you the grace. Cool. Time will come. God says, no, revenge is mine. We are not supposed to be taking revenge even we feel that we are doing something right. Even we are maybe, but that's not our job. That revenge job is God's. God is saying, you do what I tell you. Listen, be be practical, be obedient, and be suffer. Suffering is is the greatest part of a Christian life. And of Jesus, what did Jesus do? He had a happy-go-lucky life. He suffered. We don't want that part of Jesus, that the suffering part. And not many preachers or priests teach about the suffering part of Jesus. You know, but that is a necessity. And that's why this verse, once again we come back to this verse, is so beautiful for those who understand this verse, because that is our hope. The moment you concentrate on this, if you look back, in our own lives, if you look back, I'm sure every one of us have had great problems in the past. Did God leave us at that time? If God had left us at that time, I don't think we would be alive today. So if God did not leave us at that time, you think he's going to leave us today? That means we are doubting the love of God. And doubting the love of God is, I would say, a sacrilege. Because God is love. God is love. That is His element. His nature is love. He cannot change that. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And His nature is love. You can. Sometimes we say, no, okay, I'm so much on, I depend on this guy, and I know that this guy is not going to leave me. He, whatever, I have done so much for him. You are so dependent on human beings who can change, who are there today and gone tomorrow, and you are not dependent on that person, on that God, who has created you, and you're going back to Him. We are dependent, when you go on a bus, we are dependent on the driver. We are not thinking that is that driver going to take us to safely, or is this car going to take us safely? We are dependent on the person driving, right? So if we are dependent on ordinary human beings here, why, how much more should we be dependent on God, who is our creator, who is our source of help, who is our every day? Without Him, we can do nothing. Yeah. So this is that is why God, John, is putting this verse to us. So today, you have any problems? It seems unsolvable. Think of the time when Israelites went to the Red Sea. They had, at that time also, they knew that they cannot pass the sea. Never has the sea opened up like that. What did God do? He opened up the sea, and the enemies were put in the Red Sea. So what is our God? Yeah, and why? So is that a story? Doesn't that story should give you help? If today you are facing a Red Sea at the moment, if God could open that Red Sea then, can't He open that Red Sea today? What He wants is your trust in Him. You should develop a habit of talking to God on a daily basis. Father, you did this to that. Are you going to let me down? Talk to Him. Put your ignorance unto His feet. We are ignorant. We have got our doubts. Doubting has got no problem. We have got our doubts. If God understands it, you talk rubbish to God, He will listen. Because you are His, He has created you. You have a faith. Listen, nobody can help you in certain problems. But Father, you help me. You show me the way out. I don't know. There are no books. There are no things. He'll speak to the Word of God anyway. But He will tell you. And the moment you sit with the Father or sit in Jesus' presence, the first thing He gives you, your problem is not solved. But the first thing He gives you is peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Problem is there, but that peace, my God, that peace is what? I have experienced that. I've got so many testimonies of that. You know, that's why I can confidently, say that our God is our only God. And I'm not less a problem. I've got more problems than anybody else, but I'm not afraid of them. I like that verse, that God says, fear not. How many times He's continuously said, let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. These are the words I cling to. Because if I don't believe in any scripture, I believe in this. As Lord, you said, don't fear. I'm not fearing. Lord, you said, don't fear. I'm not fearing. Lord, you said, let your heart not be troubled. I'm allowing my heart to be troubled. The opposition is staring at my face. But I'm not afraid. Why? I'm afraid. My heart is beating in fear. But I'm saying, because I'm claiming that word of God. Say, because knowing that my God will not forsake me. Yeah, that is the power. That is how we have to try God on a continuous basis. And God likes that. Jesus likes that. He likes, because when will your faith increase if you do not test the faith? Tomorrow, suppose God has not answered your prayer, in the way you want it. He will tell you how He'll answer your prayer. Suppose He doesn't answer, you can tell the Lord, Lord, you let me down. You can even talk to Him like that. Lord, you have let me down. You've said, I prayed to you for this and you're not giving me. He will tell you what He did. He will tell you that He has given you something better, which you cannot see now. And that now today, when I look back at my life, believe me, I'm telling you, I would have been dead in 1998, long ago. I was in a different field altogether. But then at 1998, I lost my job. A high-profile job I lost, which I never thought I would lose. And that was the shattering part of my life. And in 1998, I met the Lord. I was under depression for 3 months. My CVs were moving out in the whole of Oman, and there was no jobs for me. Some I said that I was overqualified. Some said we are no vacancies. But again, to cut a long story short, I got this present job of mine. And today, when I look behind and I look back at my life, I thank God for taking my job at that time. Otherwise, by now I would have been a ruin. I know that. That is the way. That is why I have the confidence in my God. That if He has not done then, He will not do now. And the more you have confidence in Him, He never lets you down. we try our best, right? We try our best to never allow give less to our children. Whatever the child asks, like, we try our best to give our children, right? We as earthly fathers know how to give good things to our children. How much will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit, which when you ask of Him? Luke 11:13. When you ask of Him, and what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift you and I can possess, brothers.
Amen.
Greatest gift. You have the Holy Spirit, you want nothing. You want nothing. Because He knows, He'll tell you where to go, He'll does things for you. Supernatural powers happen with the Holy Spirit. That is why every day we should ask the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you more. Holy Spirit is living in you. But He can get dormant, but you don't use Him. He is there for you, but you are not using Him. It's a gift given to us by God, but we are not using it. That means we have got pride in us also, but we don't use the Holy Spirit. God has said, Jesus said, I'm going to the Father so that I can send you the Holy Spirit. Now, when He's sending you the Holy Spirit, He's giving you as a gift to us, and we received it in baptism. Now, He's there, right? Now, can we see the Holy Spirit? No. Everything depends on faith. We cannot please the Father. Only by faith we can please Him. So that faith is there. So with that faith, you got to ask the Holy Spirit, like, you know, Holy Spirit, come on, help me, trust me, you know, show me the way. I have a, what do you call that? I have a hobby of losing keys. Believe me, I lose keys very often. But, and I search the entire place for my keys. But then after desperation, I ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you know where my keys are. Please show it to me. And then after some time, I go back to the same place and I find my keys there. I have gone there before. I couldn't find it there. You know, so that is the way the Holy Spirit reveals. Sometimes the evil spirit makes you blind. He blinds you. And only the Holy Spirit can keep your eyes open. Sometimes, you know, I can always remember that accident which I had, which I've already told you all, near Watchers. And I was blinded. I knew that pole was next to me. But at that very moment, I was blinded and I hit the pole back. Right? There were reasons for it. I've already confessed about it. Because God wanted to teach me, to never to tell lies. I told a lie that time to the cops. Anyway, I'll give you that story. For those who didn't know it, I will give you the story again some other time. But that is the way God prunes you. And John is soaked. John is so much soaked that everything he sees in the eyes of the old Testament. He's read the words upside down, and he has chosen this beautiful verse. And then what he says, and so it is to be, amen. He ends this part with an exclamation, you know. Even so, what is amen? Amen is believing. Even so, yes. You know, yes, I believe. That's why we say amen. Whenever you say amen, actually you got to hear what that declaration or something is made and then say amen. Especially when people are talking about healings and things like that. If a wrong proclamation is made and you say amen, it's wrong. Because you're believing in what you are saying yes to that person without even understanding what he's talking about. He must have made a false statement, knowingly or unknowingly. And if you say amen, that means you are agreeing to that. So amen is a very dangerous word. And so actually in Greek, the words are nai and amen. Okay. Amen is in Hebrew and Greek is nai, N-A-I. Okay. And that is the same thing he uses here. Nai, amen. That means yes, indeed, in the Greek language. He uses the nai and he uses the amen. Yes, indeed. That means this whatever he said is so powerful. So powerful. He has used two different languages to proclaim its powerfulness. Yeah, that is this particular verse. And then it comes to number 8. Verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Look at a small verse, but look at the depth this has got. This is now God's description. Alpha and Omega. Now Alpha is the first letter of the Greek and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Okay? Of Alpha and the Omega. That means, and the term Alpha to Omega means completion. Complete. There's nothing missing in it. And the same way in the Hebrew language, now this is in the Greek language. In the Hebrew language, the first letter is Aleph. A-L-E-P-H. That's the first letter. And Tau, T-A-U, is the last letter. And the rabbis also have had the same habit of saying Aleph to Tau. You know, Aleph to Tau. They said that Adam transgressed the law, but Abraham kept it from Aleph to Tau. You know, Adam sinned, but Abraham kept the full law. That means from Aleph to Tau, he kept the full law together. And similarly, God has blessed Israel from Aleph to Tau. That means complete blessing. And so now God is this is that God who is boundless. He's the Alpha, the Omega. That means everything is Him. Everything is Him. I am the Alpha, the Omega. Everything belongs to Him. He's the A to Z. Is there anything before A and is there anything after Z? No. For us, it is A to Z. Everything. All the 26 alphabets are covered in that A to Z. So God is A to Z. That means nothing is before, nothing is after. And then He confirms it by saying, and God is He who says, that is to say, I am the Alpha and the Omega, He says, and who is, who was, and who is to come. Yeah. So once again, God is saying that He was, that means He's eternal. He's eternal. He was, we don't know from where God came. He is today, present, and He will be in the future. That, now these are the things so interestingly put by John here, because he is giving hope. His letter has not even started. He is giving hope to those people who are suffering. That same God, he says, you know, the God of our ancestors, Abraham. Did God let Abraham down? No, he didn't. He said, I will make you generation, I will make you, your descendants, your generations as the stars and the moon, stars from the sky. Didn't he do it? Today we can see that. Yeah? Abraham, who at the age of 100 received his first child, right? Isaac. Today we can see that. Same God. Here, Abraham is dead and gone to God. But we can see the promise of God, no, being fulfilled. So if God could do that for Abraham, even that time Abraham was at age of 75, God told Abraham, come on, leave that country of yours and come out, I will make you a great generation. And what did Abraham do? He left everything. He left. He was a filthy rich man. He had so much of cattle, so much of herds, so much of things. He was a filthy rich man. He had no necessity to even listen to God. But that time they were pagans. His father was worshipping idols. And God saw goodness in Abraham and He told him. He gave him the invitation. His wife Sarah said, what are you doing here? You're an old man. Where are you going now? You know. But he said, no. My God called me. And God did not come like a god and he spoke to him in his heart, in his voice. So you see, when God speaks, you know, you cannot deny the fact that God is God. He will tell you. He will make you. He will convict you. Yeah, He will convict you and He will say, come on. Then it is up to us to obey or not to obey. If you obey, blessings will follow. He told Abraham that time, I will make you a great man. Abraham is still getting out of Ur, his hometown. And he's going there. But God told him at invitation time, he said, I will make you a great, great man. That same invitation today is for us. If we are willing to oblige, to listen, to obey God from Alpha to Omega, you know, that completely how Abraham did, we can be Abrahams of today's world. Challenge for me, with beginning with me. All these messages start with me, brothers. Okay? If I am so dedicated to my God and accept Him and do whatever, I'm trying. We're all trying. And one day, sure, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that. There's no doubt about it. We can be the Abrahams of this world. Yeah, and we will be. Why not? Yeah, we want to be, because see, what did Abraham lack? Nothing. He walked with God. He lacked nothing. Going to the mountain with his son, only son, and God is telling him, kill your son. See, these small, this whatever difficulties come in our lives, you know, is like a laughing thing for God. So he only wants to test our faith. Nothing can happen to us. There is no thing so strong that will defeat us, because our God is Almighty. All God, this is the word they said, our God is Almighty. Everything, all dominion of this world is to my hand. What the RSS may talk, they may give you some to say, the ISS may cut a few people. So what? You know, with the blood of the martyrs, we are born. Every blood, every person who is killed, increases the population of Christianity. That's how we have been, so we are a growing force. You know, and once we understand that, you know, every martyr who died, died with love, you know. With they gave themselves up to the Lord. How can you do it when you don't know the Lord? Ultimately, see, brothers, how much are we going to save our life? okay, today I will deny the Lord. Okay, and my life will be saved. Then the moment you deny the Lord, your life is saved. That person, whoever saved your life, that pagan god, is going to harass you. Then you will feel, so what is better for me to die than to be now harassed by this guy? Because you are under, now what is the ISS telling you, telling us? You want to live? Discard your religion. Don't come and join us. Okay, say, suppose you are so darpuk and you want to give your life, you want to save your life. Then they are going to give you a nice royal treatment? You think so? They will make your life misery. It was better that they had killed you that time and you had died for God, then allowed him to save your life and accepted him, and then makes you a full lifelong misery. You know, and that's how little girls, 14-year-old virgins, you know, who were dedicated themselves life of their to this thing, they were enjoying in God's presence. They gave themselves life. Look at the way they were martyred. Beautiful. So yes, here we are, and that is the joy. Now look at Peter. When Jesus was arrested, he ran away. Yeah? But then he repented. He looked at Jesus and repented. And then, you know, when they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, what happened to them? Then they were not afraid. Peter said, okay, you want to crucify me? Crucify me. But don't crucify me like my Lord. Because I don't deserve that death. By all means, put me on that cross, but hang me upside down. He didn't say, don't take my life. Everybody, all the apostles, were martyred except John. He was the last person. All the other apostles. And the moment what I'm trying to say is, no, tonight this will be our plea to the Lord. Lord, make us Abrahams of today. Yeah, that we have this faith so much in you that nothing will deter us. We will move according to how you want us to move. We will do according to what you have wanted us to do. And we will be enriched by you, you know, and have life everlasting here on earth. Now, Abraham had everything and his things were multiplied. He was not with the same stock and herd. He was multiplied. They had so much, you know, that he and his cousin Lot, his nephew, had to part ways. Because they had so much of cattle, they had so much of people, that they were not in sync with one another. They were fighting taking place. And then God said, look at that land. Whatever you want, take. You think there is less land on this earth today? Plenty of land. If we just walk where God tells us to walk, we will never suffer from lack of anything. From lack of anything. You know. So this trial, tribulation time, now John's letter is also affecting us today. Today also is tribulation time. If John could convince them at that time, because they were also troubled, they were also killed, then how much more? That's why these letters are universal letters. They don't belong to that time. They belong to everything. And you see, the depth, now we are still finishing 8th. The depth from 1 to 8th, we are still in the first chapter. But how much of volumes is there in that? That is why I don't just want to rush it. Whatever I get, whatever I study, I want to put it down. Because it makes so much of sense. Rather than say, now the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. First, I should just say, oh, here comes the blessing. But when we studied in this book, what the meaning of blessing is, what the meaning of grace is, what the peace of grace is, it's something beyond imagination. That's why that builds your confidence up. That builds your confidence. Otherwise, it's the same old story. Like, you know, we come, we hear, we go. Life is the same. Come back, this is a circle. And in that vicious circle, we cannot grow. Never. I've tried it so many years. We cannot grow. You have to make a radical decision that, no, Lord, come what may, I am changing my life. The Christians of the past did it. Why is it not possible for us to do it? It is possible. The Christians enjoyed. Those who did it enjoyed. You'll see the chapters when it comes to the last time. And one more thing I will tell you, brothers and sisters. There is no other shortcut. Huh? You have to do it if you want eternity. There is no other way you can do it. So better to do it right now. Learn. We all go together as one group, as one family in Christ. We learn. We help each other to grow and grow in the right way. So that, because then do you not find people say, hey, my shortcut Maharaj, they say I'm gone before you. No, there's no shortcut. The way to heaven is narrow, full of thorns and thistles, and you got to carry your cross daily and follow God. So we end our talk today. It's time, no?
Stay.
Yeah, fine, because you're going to
Because that spoon will need to cut at the edge. Spoon. They have a spoon there. Is it Lady Sam?
Yeah, I'll ask. But we'll see you.
Lord, we thank you for speaking to us this afternoon, teaching us, Lord, how great thou art. Although we know, Lord, how great thou art, we still tend to forget, we still tend to ignore, and we still tend to do our own ways, Lord. But today, as one family, Lord, in Christ, we, all of us, unanimously agree to try you in a way that Abraham tried you, Lord. So that our faith too will be increased, Lord, and we will receive blessings in abundance, Lord, in our lives. Not only for us, say, ourselves, Lord, but in these blessings, Lord, we will reach out to those who don't know you, Lord, and thus try to win souls for you and obey your last command that you gave: go unto the world and preach the good news. Lord, as our team goes out to the hospital business, we once again, with with confidence, Lord God, we believe and we know how this team, Lord God, operates in the hospitals, Lord. It's your word, Lord God. People are touched, Lord. People are healed, Lord God. Because your word is always the same. Because you are always the same God, yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Once again, we surrender all those patients into your hands, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, increase their faith, Lord, and bring healing to every child of yours, Lord. And for the rest of us who are going home, Lord, bless our vehicles as always, Lord. Help us to be so transparent, Lord, that people who see us will see you in us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, Lord. We acclaim you, Lord God. We honor you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God, as we children of God agree and say.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Have a blessed week, dear brothers and sisters.